chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, and that's on page 230 in the Pew Bible. Don't be in any rush to become a teacher, my friends. Teaching is highly responsible work. Teachers are held to the strictest standards, and none of us is perfectly qualified. We get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. If you could find someone whose speech is perfectly true, you'd have a perfect person in perfect control of life. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in face of the strongest winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony into chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. This is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild like a wanton killer. With our tongues, we bless God, our Father, and with the same tongues, we curse the very men and women He made in His image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. My friends, this can't go on. A spring doesn't gush fresh water one day and brackish the next, does it? Apple trees don't bear strawberries, do they? Raspberry bushes don't bear apples, do they? You're not going to dip into a polluted mud hole and get a cup of clear, cool water, are you? This is the word of God for we, the people of God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Well, Peterson's has a little different take on that because he uses some of the more common fruits. But the scripture that we have is a fig tree doesn't produce. And when we think of things in the natural order of things, as I said earlier, what are we looking for from out of a Christian? Christ-like actions, deeds, and words. That's what we hope and we expect. Well, James starts this with, not many of you should become teachers. Now, I'm back to the NRSV, which is what I read. If I'd known I was going to be doing Peter's, I'd have read that. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. James was speaking of those in the Jewish tradition who were given the title rabbi or teacher. And because they're a teacher, because they're someone that someone's going to follow, someone's going to listen to, someone's responsible for passing on some wisdom or some knowledge, it's more difficult and more important that they get it right because people are watching. How many parents we got in here? Hands up. How many grandparents? Keep them up. All right. You think you're not a teacher? Now, I did say parents. I did say grandparents. You think those kids aren't seeing, watching, listening? Oh, dear me, they are, because all you have to do is wait for the first few words that come out of their mouths. Because I guarantee you they did not come up with those on themselves, on their own. They learned it. So be careful what you teach. The other piece is that we need to be mindful when we're in those positions where we are teaching. And that we may be in a teaching position and not even be aware of it. Because none of us knows who is watching. None of us knows truly who is modeling their lives after us. So as I told the girls again this morning at confirmation, who are we supposed to be modeling? Jesus Christ. And if we're going to model Jesus Christ, don't you think we ought to get into the Word to find out who Jesus Christ is? Not was. Is. For all of us make many mistakes. Now, if there are people out there that say, you know, there's not a piece of Scripture that's really true. It's just made up. For all of us make many mistakes. Okay. I got one that says, anybody in here say they haven't made a mistake? Anybody in here flawless? I mean, you don't really. It's a rhetorical question. You don't have to stick your hand up. Because I'm not putting mine up. Then he goes on, anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with the bridle. Notice the first word that he used. Anyone. It's almost as if you can, which was the word that Peter's did, if you can. He's not saying those who can. He's saying if you can, anyone who can. And it's almost flying in the face of impossibility. First off, there is nobody who will make no mistake in speaking. But if there were someone who was perfect in speaking, he was able to keep the whole body in check with the bridle. Well, then there's an analogy. James goes into, just as Jesus and just as most of the teachers do, they give you an analogy where you can understand something. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they're large, that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder, wherefore the will of the pilot directs. Each of those cases, you know, you look at a horse that weighs 1,500 pounds, maybe 2,000 pounds, and you got this little piece of leather and little piece of metal that's put in their mouths, a bit and a bridle, and you can turn the horse. A large ship, relative to the size of the ship, a rudder is a very small portion of that ship, and yet that rudder, or in the case of a 110,000-ton Nimitz-class aircraft carrier, those four rudders that may weigh tons apiece, in the scheme of things, that's a very minuscule part of that ship. And yet, that part of the ship can direct the whole ship. Imagine how so small a thing can affect the outcome of such a larger thing. How important our tongues are. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. Look at what I did. Look at what I'm doing. See me? How many of you, when you were growing up, one of the first things you did was say, look, Ma! Yeah. Just before the fall. Yet it boasts great exploits. This tongue has effect. You know, and now even more so in the world where if we speak something, someone's going to capture it on a video. It's going to be on a YouTube. It's going to go viral. Be careful what you say, because it'll come back to you, or it'll come back at you. We live in a world in which the word and the tongue is so powerful. It can be a force of good. Motivate people to do things positively, not spread rumor and lies filled with malice to destroy or defame someone. But that tongue can do it. How great a forest is set blaze by a small fire. Remember back in the old days, 20 or 30 years ago, there was the Smokey Bear commercials. Only you can prevent forest fires. And it was a careless person would throw either a lit match or a cigarette out in the forest, and in hours, it's a blaze. In days, it's a conflagration. Analogy is how such a small thing can have such a great effect. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycles of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. It doesn't have to be that way, but it can be. And we should be mindful when we articulate. When we speak, we should choose our words wisely. That's why it's so important that when we read the Word, the Scriptures, you understand. The King James Version, the prose and the poetry. But you've got to work because it's taking us into a language that's foreign to us today. I'm not saying that it's not true and it's not valid. It is. It's just that the these and thous, the begats, etc., yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I understand that one. But we need to be very, very careful what word we're listening to, what word we're reading. One of the beautiful things about the Word is we don't just take 66 books that are in our Bible. We take and sit down and open it and meditate and read and understand and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Not that we're interpreting everything based on what we're thinking, but do it prayerfully. Do it with consideration. For every species of beast and bird, reptile, sea creature can be that has been tamed by the human species, but no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. Again, this is to demonstrate how important and how crucial and how critical it is that we monitor what we say. That we're careful about what we're saying. Are we uplifting people? Is what's coming out of our minds, our mouths as a Christian, is it we're a fig tree and we're producing olives? Are we a Christian and we're producing condemnation and sin? Are we, in fact, living a Christian life, speaking Christian words into a world for which Christian behavior and Christ-like attitudes is foreign? Because it says that this is right and this is wrong. This is sin, and this is walking in the way, the truth, and the light. But I don't like that. I'm sorry. He's in charge, not me. And I don't get to change it just because I don't like it. With this tongue, we bless the Lord and Father. With it, we curse those who are made in likeness of God. Oh, when we're told to be mindful of what we say, that's one thing. But when we see the results of what we have said, how it's hurt someone, how it's destroyed someone's reputation, how it's destroyed someone's life, then we have a better understanding of how important and crucial and critical it is that we choose the words that we use wisely, that we say only what we absolutely know when it comes up to deciding or presenting what's happening in someone else's life, or keep silent, period, if we don't know the truth. And when you drop a book down in the dirt, it's just a book in the dirt. You can pick it back up. You don't have to start cursing and using the Lord's name in vain or anything like that. Same thing holds if you strike your finger with a hammer when you were aiming for a nail. It happens. But what we're called to do is live lives and speak truth and speak uplifting and speak motivating things, not negative things. The last verses, you know, in modern horticulture, and Virginia, you probably have a few examples of this. I think, actually, we could probably, scientists of today, could probably get an olive from a fig tree. I mean, I assume, you know, we've done almost everything else. We graft in different fruit into a tree, and we get something. But absent that, the example of the fresh water out of a spring, not salt water or brackish water, the example of an olive out of a fig tree is to show us that what we should be presenting and what others should expect from us is what they should expect from us. We should be acting, saying, and doing things out of our faith and our following of Christ's teaching. People should be able to tell us by the things that we say and the things that we do. If we're not acting Christ-like, then who are we following? When a church gets together and we worship and we sing praises and Amazing Grace and all of these, whether it's Be Thou My Vision, you know, I love the song. But there's an operative piece to it. Be Thou My Vision. We have to be letting Him guide us. We have to let the Holy Spirit guide us, lead us, make us say and do those things that reflect positively on Christ Jesus. If we're doing the same thing that everybody else is doing out there in the world, and there's no difference between a Christian and a non-Christian, we're saying and doing the same things, there's something wrong there. Holy is different, set apart. Not better than, but holy is different. We're called to be holy. We're called to say holy things. Not holy moly, holy jumping Jehoshaphat, though those things have come out of my mouth and others. But if you're a Christian, they should see Christ-like qualities, actions, sounds, deeds from you. If you're not, it'll show. Who's in charge of your life? Are you trying to get an olive out of a fig tree? Or are you trying to be a Christian and a Christian deed out of a follower of Christ? if you follow Christ. The people who see you and hear you and follow you, they'll be able to tell. But it's nice if you're aware of it yourself and you're really trying to do the right thing and following. Let Jesus be your guide and let your activities show Christ-like qualities. Shalom.